GalaxyCon Live is the place for you to hear about fandom from the celebrities who bring geek culture to life.
Welcome, friends and fans, to another edition of GalaxyCon Live, where we are bringing the convention experience directly to you. And today, we are going back to the world inspired by League of Legends, with several cast members of Arcane. So without further ado, let's head on down to Piltover and see who we find. Our first guest is an actor and stand-up comedian whose roles include Assassin's Creed, Apex Legends, and Sonic the Hedgehog. Today he joins us as the voice of one of Vander's bravest, Clagger. Please welcome back our friend, Roger Craig Smith.
Hello! Former stand-up. That's an insult to stand-up comedian to be actively pursuing that craft, so
you,
no.
Roger, you make me laugh every time I see you, so that makes you a comedian in my heart.
That's like feels like a veiled insult, actually, Patty.
No, it's not a veiled insult. No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay, I'll take it as a compliment. Every time you see me, you laugh. That's good. We'll take it.
Come on, Patty.
There it is. Look at that. We have like what GIF reactions now? Skeletor GIF reaction?
Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff going on. Okay. Now if we play that three times, then we have to get Alan Oppenheimer himself. So.
Oh, good lord. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's hope so.
Roger, how are you been, my friend?
Can I complain, my friend? Everything is peachy. Why? What's been going on in the last 2 years? Anything? Nothing.
Well, we got out of the tunnel. Then we're in another, I think, a smaller tunnel. But that tunnel is smaller, and we're gonna get to the end of that one too. That's the audacity of optimism I'm holding on to.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, and there's light at the end of that increasingly smaller tunnel.
It's
getting awkward.
Next, he's an actor whose credits include Star Trek, Lower Decks, Looney Tunes, and has been the voice of the Hulk in several animated Marvel series. Today, joins us as the voice of Benzo and the Master Crafter. Please welcome back Fred Tatasciore.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. That's a terrible but hi. Thank you. Good to be here.
Glad to have you back, Fred. How you been?
I am doing all right. I'm living the dream, you know? Doing okay, brother. Good to see you guys. So glad we're doing this, and what a fun show.
Absolutely. Glad to have you back. And just a few months ago, out of sheer capriciousness, I pulled out Dawn of War 2, and again, fantastic job as Davian Thule, and thank you for that.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, thank you for joining us, boss. Glad to have you here. Good health
glad
and good
to be
spirit.
Here, man.
And next, he is an actor whose body of work includes Kung Fu Panda, Attack on Titan, and has been the voice of Iron Man in several animated Marvel series. Today joins us to discuss the role of Professor Cecil P. Heimerdinger. Please welcome Mick Wingert.
Mick!
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello. Much rejoicing. Hey, Mick, how are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for having us here, boss. Again, man, it's your first time on here, so I just got to say, big fan of your body of work, and again, I think you kill it in every version of Iron Man you've done onto. And
thank you.
Just thank you for contributing. Since we got three Marvel guys here again, just love all your work on the Avengers stuff.
Thanks.
Right on.
And finally, he is an actor and producer whose work includes Young Justice, Batman Hush, and Star Wars The Clone Wars, as you have seen if you had joined us last week when he joined us. Today, he's here as the voice of Pym and the villainous Silco. Please welcome back Jason Spezik.
Woohoo!
Hello. Yay!
I am a big fan of Mick's body of work also.
Work, yes.
Well, you know. Yeah. If you've got it, flaunt it, baby.
Hey, don't go back because you, baby. You got the look, baby. I love you guys. It's so good to see you.
Jason, it's good to have you back. How have you been since we talked last week?
Since Saturday.
Yes.
You know, doing stuff like breathing and other things that are necessary in life, like also eating. And possibly going to the bathroom. Yes,
that's
exactly.
Good. That's good. Those are all very important things. All right. All right, gentlemen, welcome back to the GalaxyCon virtual stage. As always, a pleasure to have you. Our team is going through the chat room right now. But first, I just want to throw this on out. It's obvious that Arcane, I think, may have exceeded everybody's expectations. What was your reactions when you first got the scripts and may have realized that this is being written to a slightly higher level than maybe most animated work might be too?
What's Arcane?
it's this show on Netflix based on a video game.
Ligua of Legends.
That'll never work.
It's a no, very
that's
gonna work. Famous.
That's garbage.
Just listen to the guys, and I'll call on you last. You can
character development that'll never work in Hollywood.
Yeah,
never.
I mean, I've seen it's been done, but it'll never work.
Actually, for me, I, honestly, like day one, literally from the audition process, that was evident that it was like they were taking a different approach to this, to not just storytelling, but just like how to produce and how to make these things and the way that they wanted to approach it. It was evident from day one that you know, they were sort of like unique in the time they could take with it. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it wasn't just like a script and kind of going, oh, this is written to a different level or that kind of thing. Cause it really was developing over years. And so, but I mean, from the get go, from Jump Street, you were just like, oh, they're going to be doing something very, very different with this than what we are accustomed to, like in a standard sort of approach to animation production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be fair, we weren't really sure where that was going to take us. I remember, you know, first of all, you got the title, the League of Legends already, that's got the weight, you know, on it. So holy crap, this is happening. Right. Yeah. So that was one part of it. And then it was the reads, the auditions. We came in as though we were doing on camera. Mm-hmm. It was we were matching up with scene work with partners, switching out parts, doing things to the point where I hope I'm not, you know, saying anything out of school, but I know that there were some studios that that we were recording in. They were like, these guys are doing it really differently. They just don't know. You know, like it was. You remember that? They weren't putting them down, but it was like, oh gosh, this is going to take forever.
Yeah,
there was a moment of this is going to take a long time. And
yeah.
And then what
think this is real.
Yeah. And then when we did this though, we found out, wow, the acting part of this was so deep and fun, and we were reacting and doing all these things that we don't often have time to do on the level that we were doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, a beautiful table read that was just, that's when we got to the table read, it was like, oh, you guys are, this is real. Okay. You guys are for real. You know, and we didn't know again where it was going to go, but the heightened drama of it and just the work that went into it just before the animation was tremendous. So yeah, that was a big part.
Mm-hmm. I have a question actually.
No, you can't talk.
Do any of us want to like let Fred know that there's someone in the booth with him?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, okay.
That's hey everybody. This is Benzo's dad right here. Well, can you see him?
No. He's hanging out. That's why I just keep seeing a mysterious
hand.
Oh, hey. He can't hear this.
Okay, that's true.
Can't hear.
Yes. Dad. And he's, right. You know, we're hanging out and he's like, "Can I check this thing?" I said, "Absolutely."
That is so cool.
He's hanging out. So
I couldn't figure out. I kept seeing a mug of a mug going up and down.
He's proud of you all. Yeah. And you notice I was cussing less.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So,
there we go. It's
wonderful to me. Thank you.
Oh, hey, we love having you. So that's love having you. These are my pals.
Yeah. That reminds me of a story.
Anyway, that's it. So we're going to watch the Super Bowl. I'll take care, guys. I will. No, sorry.
Bye, friend. Jason.
His dad says he's got to go in now.
Exactly.
Having someone in the booth with you reminds me of a story for Arcane that was very different when you normally record voiceover. The producers aren't in the booth with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
For the first record that we did, at least for my character, I go in the booth like normal and they adjust the microphone and the engineer does their thing. And, you know, Alex and Christian are out there talking and I'm getting ready to do a sound check. And then they walk in the booth. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. They want to give me like a pep talk. They want to talk to me about how things are going to be. And I like that. They're involved. This is good. They're coming inside the room with me. And they never left. The entire
exactly.
session, they sat in the room with me, vibing back and forth, asking me, how does that feel? And I was able to just address them directly without any interference. It was evidence of what was to come, which was this brilliant creative experience where they treated me as a collaborator. Which I really genuinely appreciate because, I mean, there's a lot of things we can do. Everyone on this video chat is insanely talented. And if you give us the direction you want us to go, you're going to get something great.
100%.
Give us a chance to work with you, you may get something that's once in a lifetime. And that is what I feel like Arcane was able to achieve. Yeah. I think it's the way they treated and respected everybody.
They really did. Yeah. They walked in and they worked with you. Yeah.
I want to throw something out as well. Right. Like,
father was there with me.
My dad was all here at the time.
That's what made Arcane really, really special.
Really nice.
Thank you.
Ted Ashore Sr. was there and we had a great session. I think my experience was a little different. I think I didn't come to the party until a little later in the casting process, so I wasn't involved in a table read or anything. But I will say this, when the sides came around, I remember reading and auditioning for a couple of different roles and helping other actors, because I'm also a coach, help them audition. And it was clear from the first page of any set of sides. And I don't mean the big, you know, page long description with all the lore and all that stuff. I mean, like the way the characters interacted with each other in the first page of the scene work, it was clear this was at a different level. This was a television drama. This was a high end miniseries, as it were, not a cartoon. And that's it makes Arcane one of my favorite things to recommend to people to watch of my adult friends, because even those who are not into animation as an art form of its own can dig in and relate with all of these characters. Even though it's a fantasy setting in an incredible world, everything's relatable, everything's grounded. There's a reason that every character does what he or she does, and that's a testimony to the writing. And a little bit of trivia, at least the sites I got were, it said animated Oliver Twist series, animated, unnamed animated Oliver Twist series or something like that. They really wanted it to feel not, at least at that level of the auditions that I received, they were not looking for us to sound like, you know, the League of Legends heroes that are known. They didn't want a copy of the video game. They wanted Dickensian. They wanted to tell this Dickensian story, yeah. and cast the right people for it.
Please, sir, may I have some more? Please, sir, yes, may I have some more? Yes, please, Oliver. Sir, may I have some more?
Oliver, you
please,
want
sir.
More? And that's also, Mick, why I, when I watched it, I really wasn't sure that I didn't know that was you. It was so great. It was really amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Do we know, has it come out? Is it doing well? Do we know if it...
No, it actually did really well overseas, but not in
America. Oh, but not, okay. Right? Yeah. Okay, good.
No,
because you got, I mean, it sounds amazing.
You can't. Yeah. You can't.
Well, the animation's a little cheap, but.
Yeah. Yes. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. They didn't, they kind of phoned it in, didn't they?
Right. Yeah. There was just a white-haired guy in the back room with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth going, I don't care what it looks like, just get it on the air. The kids don't care.
It's funny.
They don't give a
thing happens, it's in threes, it's good.
Yeah. Still storyboards. Yeah.
They put everything into that animation. Oh my God.
Absolutely.
Gorgeous.
It's unreal.
Yeah. And then animators died.
I wouldn't surprise me. So, I mean,
what I really so incredibly appreciate about this series is over the past couple of years, they finally looked at like a comic book property and it's like, oh, these aren't as simple as we think they are. We're really seeing the value in its lore and its canon and stuff like that. And I'm really hoping that this series finally moves the needle for video games. Finally, you know, the people on the when expanding it and translating it to another form of media are really going to look at it and not think, oh yeah, Mortal Kombat. It's ninjas fighting ninjas. And that's all we need and everything else too. It's a disservice to the advancement that's gone into video games and its development, the incredible writers and the animation that's gone into it. And really, guys, this project, I really think it's going to be seen as a benchmark for when the entertainment system's really starting to look at the video game system and think there's more beneath the surface here, and we need to really start looking at it and respecting it.
One of the things that really appeals to me about it is, you know, when you look at an on camera, you know, a movie, and one of the great things about on camera acting is if I look at, let's say, my favorite, you know, a great actor. I can see, you know, Anthony Hopkins or whatever. He doesn't have to say a word, but I kind of know what he's thinking. I know he's so present in that scene. And what I love about the animation that they have cutaways on these shots. We're not talking, you know, and it's just, there's just the look of the animated character. And I am completely know what's going on in that psyche.
That's the
animation, quote unquote, acting, because it in animation, you do call it acting too. It's just full out. And I, you know, I talked to the director. He said, yeah, these teams worked day and night.
I'll bet.
The pain that they put into this is astounding. And I watch and I it's so rare you see a cutaway, an effective cutaway in an animated series where it's like that's full breathing thing that's happening.
Half of what Silco says is nonverbal.
Absolutely.
Like, oh my gosh, yeah.
I get credit for creating this incredible character, but like you look at the character design and you look at what's done in just empty space, the animators of Fortiche, how they can fill the world so fully with no words.
And that's really to their credit. That's like, that's crazy. I mean, I know they got a lot of our faces and stuff and tried to get that right and everything, but boy.
Like me, I don't know what
you're I know. Doing. I was gonna say, you're gonna cosplay that dude
100%.
You could totally
see it. I have the turtleneck over the Silco outfit.
Just it's gonna be a lot of work up here, though.
You know,
we keep trying to get Roger to show up in his all my characters costume at our physical shows, but
the weirdest thing is that I was the body double for Powder the whole time, so it's kind of like I just feel.
Will you hug me, buddy?
But you gave me a lot to work with, so that's good. That's the episode.
My body of work. I will say that what you were talking about too—that animation thing. For me, it was like literally a cutaway to Powder when she was in the shooting gallery, and kind of just puts the gun down and gives him like I forget who it might have been. Oh gosh,
Milo.
Yeah, because I think he was kind of like goofing on her, and she looked over and I'm just went. But it was so perfectly done because it's really, really difficult to do that stuff in animation and not have it look like all of a sudden it becomes, because they're not talking, it becomes sort of a disconnect or it looks sort of poorly done or not realistic. And it was just like, we've all seen like, a sassy sibling do something very similar.
100%.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, gentlemen, thank you for indulging my capricious curiosity. We are good to go on audience questions. So let's go ahead, flesh
twice. Twice you've used capricious, and it's I have to Google this word now.
Patty, I ask you not to cuss, please.
Yeah,
in reference to your father, yes. Here's one from Lynn, and she wants to know what would be your character's theme song.
She blinded me with science.
Oh my gosh! let's see.
He's creepy and he's kooky, and altogether kooky. It's still close. Theme song.
Yeah, that works. That totally works.
I know, Fred. I can't think of anything funny.
I know. Well, because comes right out of he should be a roadie. You know what I mean? So there's so many great songs.
Yeah.
That we could do. I wanna, but it's not British band, but I wanna be sedated.
Or London Calling.
We'll think about it. Go back, Roger. You got one for you.
I don't know. It's maybe too soon, but it's like I came in like a wrecking ball.
Yes,
might have been. Rest in peace, Clagger.
Sorry, buddy.
I feel no. That's a capricious. Spoiler alert. That's a very
pretty capricious.
Capricious.
Yeah.
No, it's
that's an incredibly capricious song.
I think. It's something from The Clash. Oh, no. Yes. I break in rocks in the hot sun.
There we
I
go.
Fought the law in the law one.
There you go. Love it.
There you go. All right. There's your set list, Lynn. And a great question to start us off with. What is next? Here's one from Aggie. What are some of your favorite video games to play? If you don't play video games, what are some of your games in general you like to play?
I play Minecraft.
Knuckle. Minecraft. Oh, wow. Nice. Old school.
Hey, Battle Zone. You know, you get in. No. No.
Battle Zone is awesome.
You like Battle Zone when you shoot at the shapes?
Asteroids.
Yes. That's when my video games were run on petrol back in the day.
Sorry. Go on. Sorry, Roger. No.
Gosh.
Jason, I'm kind of like you. I like those open sandbox world slash survival games. I'm a Terraria guy these days. But my son and I, one of the things we bond over is we play a lot of Overwatch. So I've constantly got Fred in my ear going, "I'm not your father.
I'm not your father."
And
yeah,
it's Overwatch a good day to die.
Yeah,
and we're all soldiers now.
I appreciate that. You're an interesting little character.
Thanks.
No, I do love the Overwatch though. That is, and you're right. The open, the crazy games. I like the things where I actually get to do the thing, like the Wii, where I get to do the sword fighting or the hitting. I'm not very good at actual, like, you know, doing the
fine
the,
motor skills. Yeah,
fine motor skills. No, I me neither. I always feel like I'm betraying the characters that I play. You know, just like to think that you voiced me.
Where are you? I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. Go.
Fred's just in the corner jumping against a wall over and over again.
You're a terrible player.
My all-time favorite game, I enjoy the puzzle games, but the all-time favorite for me was Portal. I thought Portal was just so much fun. And I would long for another one someday, but I don't want to be capricious.
Well, you are capricious.
Thank you.
There you
go. Actually, I'm a Leo.
That says you are next time.
There you go, Aggie and Fred. Next time you're in San Francisco, go to the Video Game Museum. They have a perfect mint condition battle zone there.
Oh, on it.
What's next? From Kasha, we'll be everyone's dream project to work on.
Arcane.
Gosh. Yeah.
Who hasn't?
Arcane season 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oops, I'm dead. Spoilers. Let's see.
Really, dream project? It'd be fun to create some crazy virtual reality experience. You know what I mean? With animation and do something wild with music and characters. That would be like the crazy, you know, LSD dream, idea. Dream project.
I always wanted to play the genie in Aladdin.
Oh wow.
As far as a voice acting dream job went.
Mm-hmm. You know,
when Robin did that, I was always like, hey, when that goes to video, but it wasn't me. But I always thought it would be fun.
That's a good part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a great role.
My pet answer is always the next one, because it's like there's so many things that we've been able to like work on that it's like, and again, the good fortune of working in animation is that the sky's the limit as far as the creativity. They're rarely limited by sort of budgets in terms of how we're going to shoot this, or, you know, can we get the stunt guys to do that? Or, you know, the insurance policy is never going to cover that. Mm-hmm. And so there's again, we're sitting here talking about a series that years ago didn't even exist to us and has just been like incredible and set the bar. So it's like the idea that you get another dream project. It's like when everybody here has been fortunate enough to sit in on so many that it's like, I'm excited for what's to come, whatever that might be. Some capricious virtual reality thing that Fred creates would be really capricious.
Be fun. And another capricious thing. Yeah. Or just something just so hilarious. Just something we're allowed to just get nonlinear and get as funny.
An animation that's like given to sudden and unaccountable changes, something like that. That would be really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
If only there was a word that could just describe that.
I think it's Capricorn.
Capricornius. Yes.
I if this is also just to find out like what we're fans of and what we would love to do, not that I haven't had my dream project, you know, opportunities already, because I really have. And if you just want to know like what we're into, I wouldn't mind a huge like Thundar the Barbarian reboot. I'd love to be involved in something like that. That would be super fun. They rebooted He-Man twice at the same time. Mm-hmm. Why not Thundar? Bring him back.
Right. It is a Time Warner property. It's part of the Hanna-Barbera thing. So it's sitting there idle.
Idle.
And
you heard it here first, people.
Yeah, remember when 1997, when, you know, the comet, you know, hurtled between us and the moon.
That's right.
That's right.
Causing a Frank Franzian dystopia.
Yes.
To emerge.
And a little Jack Kirby.
And a little Kirby Jack Kirby.
You guys are super old.
Yeah, right?
I always love how they put that in scripts, the Jack Kirby crackle.
What?
I have the crackle look. And I have you read that? So many times, they're like, and a little Kirby crackle. You know, it's just like, what is that?
There you have it, Kasha. Thank you. What do we have next? Here's one from Kashi. What do you believe would be a piece of advice your character would give to you if your character was still alive?
Ouch.
Yeah, Jason, why'd you have to kill me?
Wow.
Well, I did attack you, didn't I?
Yeah.
I guess the only one who can answer this is Mick.
Oh, well, I guess that puts me on the spot.
I think, seeing as I don't dabble in the arcane personally, I think Hymer is always the voice of inspiration, but of caution as well, and prudence. You must be prudent, and I think he would say something akin to what he says to Victor when they're putting away Jace's stuff after Jace has been booted from the academy. When he says, you know, if dangerous ideas did not excite us, we would not be drawn astray. We would never go astray. And that's true. I mean, and I think that's the kind of advice that Hymer would give anyone that, you know, he is in a professional or personal relationship with, that he would just be that voice of caution of, because, you know, he saw how bad things can get. And so he definitely embraces the scientific and the notion of cautiousness and not being capricious with it.
Goggles are cool and all, but you're probably going to want to go with a helmet.
Good. It's a great piece of advice.
Good.
That would be 100%. That'd be the one bit of advice he'd probably post-mortem give me.
Yeah. I think, yeah, for me, it'd be like, you're doing great, love. You just got to upgrade a bit and get a little more organized in your shop. But I think you're doing fine. But just don't take all that other crap too seriously. Don't muck about with what's going on in your head. Don't do that. You know, you do what you do and just do that. And yeah, upgrade. I'll help you. That's what he said.
I love it. The platitudes. Do what you do and just do that.
Do it, yeah, you know what you're doing.
No.
Yeah, but you're terrible. You don't do social media, do you? No, you don't. Yeah. You got to learn more stuff, mate. But other than that, don't worry. You're doing all right.
I would say there's this idea that being your authentic self and accepting who you are, that's a big reason why people like Silco's last words to Jinx. It's a powerful message in the show that a lot of people were drawn to and they think they needed to hear. Because with all the stuff on social media, you start to doubt who you are, if you're enough, because you see everybody else's perfect life. And I think, don't cry, you're perfect, is something that a lot of people need to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great question. And let's go ahead and roll another one. And from Hal, if the four of you were in a band, what would the name of the band be?
Capricious.
Yes.
The Capricious Creepy Four. I don't know. Like
Roger that. Craig Smith and Capricious. That's it. That's the name of the band.
Three dead guys and a scientist.
Three dead guys. I like that. Three dead guys and the scientist. I'm serious. That's the band, man. That's really good.
And the Kirby Crackles.
The Kirby Crackles.
Right. Our band could also be named Undercity.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's our serious band name.
I think the name of the first album is, I think you got that, for three dead guys and a scientist, and the first album is Capricious. And
then, Capricious. I like it.
Pretentious ass album.
And now playing the title track from Capricious, this is Four Dead Guys and a Scientist.
With where are your helmets?
Coming in at number 5.
Yeah.
Arcane death.
Where are your helmets?
That's right, Spin Lace Hot Wax. Here's the latest single from Three Dead Guys and a Scientist off the album Capricious.
From Capricious.
Story.
The top of the charge.
Here's Hextech by Three Dead Guys and a Scientist.
Hextech.
That's right. I'm the boss with a hot sauce. Spinning on a platter with less chatter.
God rest.
Yeah.
Hal, thank you. Great question.
The Hextech experience.
Yes.
What's next? Here's one for Christy. If you could write a story arc for your character, what would it be about?
Not
living.
Being.
Surviving.
Surviving.
Me and Rod.
Yep. So you got it too.
She'll go. You got one.
Not being dead.
Not being dead.
I don't know. Not dying. Not dying's always kind of a good.
Yeah. Probably less about impulse control. Yeah.
Survive at least 9 or 10 episodes. I don't know. That's a good story.
Maybe the scientist can just clone everybody back to life.
Yeah.
I would. Hey. I would love backstories on everybody. That's. I'm always a fan of that. You know, I'd love to know about your family. Love to know like where you. You know, just what got you where you were. You know, that's that might not be as theatrically exciting. But it's interesting to me, you know. That's I'd love to know that. Yeah, what got you in? Like, what like for my character? Like, what were you doing to like help out? Him and Vander, you know, their connection. You know, what was the past for all those guys? We know a little bit about Silco and Vander. You know what I mean? But like, what would be very interesting to know their.
Well, and why, having grown up in Alabama, you came up with that weird accent? That's the weirdest.
There's a small part in Alabama that people don't know about. Yeah, people talk like this.
Oh, it's called Surrey, Alabama.
Surrey, Alabama. Not near Birmingham, Alabama. Not to be confused, but Birmingham.
Not at all. Totally different part of the state. Yeah.
Then how come your dad doesn't have that accent?
He doesn't speak any human
but
language.
The milkman does.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
No.
The dirty secrets.
Oh, he's in New York.
Of Surrey, Alabama.
Your dad's not even really there.
No.
We see his hand.
Just the projector. Yeah.
It's just.
Well, there you have it, Christy. The three resurrections and a backstory. Okay.
Oh, there's another band.
Yeah. Oh, what's next?
That's my favorite party game: three resurrections and a backstory.
That just sounds like I could go wrong.
The capricious party game. Flight eggs. If your character's house and homes were on fire, what would be the first thing that they would grab before leaving?
Now, Jinx's hand.
Yes.
Because she would be like, I'm just going to hang around. No.
Well, she probably was the one who started it when you think about it.
So why would you leave?
Yeah.
That's the truth. I'd grab, Heimer would absolutely make sure that his Poro is with him. His little koosh dog with the ram horns.
Yes.
That pet is, yes, exactly, is pretty precious to him. So... I think everything else can be replaced, but you can't replace your Poro.
Yeah, it would be any living thing, you know, any kid, any person, you know, anybody, any living thing in the shop. You know, I think I'd make sure everybody's is safe. You know, that's what they do. Yeah. You know, all the living things, and then maybe my toolkit, and the money bag. You know, like, you know, the register and the tool. I got a special toolkit I need. Yeah,
like fire extinguisher. I mean, no one else.
No,
anyone.
Just saying, like, if your home's on fire,
that's more of a steampunk. It's steam, really. It's not. Yeah.
Okay.
That is very Clagger of you to be like fire extinguisher, and then he dies in the fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Had a great idea. Really good idea.
But my goggles would survive, so, you know, they're going to be fine.
Gosh, that's magical to me.
Couldn't have gone with a helmet. Should have gone with a helmet, right?
So
it's not right. Yeah.
There you have it, flat eggs.
Flat eggs.
Flat eggs.
That was the greatest little sound bite. There you have it, flat eggs.
Yeah, can I get a copy of that?
Like a Dick Tracy villain. Yeah. Listen,
flat eggs.
Take it easy, square pants.
Yeah. Call him Dick Tracy. Now whose eggs are flat?
Put out an APB on flat eggs.
Not overeaten, not underdone.
That's right. Don't talk to Scramble. Like, Scramble's in jail.
Looks like you're sunny side down, flat eggs. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something about over easy. He turned on you.
Well, yeah, hey. See?
All it's right, just... here we go.
Wait, we put him in the scrambler, see?
Yeah, that's right.
Paul, roll the next question.
School of hard boiled. Oh, God, help us.
Here's one for Joe Till. Any Super Bowl jokes?
We know where this is going.
No, I'm not going to do it. Just, I'll just tell everybody to go look at what Neil deGrasse Tyson
did today. Can you do it the right way?
Roger,
can you do it the right way?
No, I can't. Do I do anything the right way, Fred?
Yes.
Come on. You know that. Yeah, I'm not even wearing pants right now. Come on.
I'm wearing Roger's right
way. Wouldn't be different from any other session I've been in with Roger.
Actually, all I wear are pants now in Idaho. It's that you guys wouldn't even recognize me. No cargo shorts for quite a while now.
What do you call a group of vegetarian football players?
He's going for it.
You call a group of vegetarian football players. What's the rest of it?
I think it's. I don't even remember. It was so bad. It's Neil deGrasse Tyson did a joke today. What would you call a football team full of vegetarians all playing like the best football? Remember, Patty, when you introduced me as a comedian? What would you call a football team of vegetarians, the best in the league, all playing together on a Sunday? The Salad Bowl.
Come on.
Wow. Oh. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I got a GIF and everything.
Yeah, you did.
Hello.
Hello.
Another video game. Hello.
Hello.
All right. So, anyone have a sports joke that they can share? If you don't have a Super Bowl joke. Or we can
sports?
Or we can just
really
move on,
Patty. Seriously. Okay, Patty, how about you? Look at we have four actor nerds talking about an animated series based on
your
legend.
And you're for a sports joke.
Yeah, and you're asking, who's got a good sports joke? Let me tell you something. Okay, where do I begin?
When you asked me what my favorite game was, I said Minecraft.
Yeah.
Guys, I asked my dad if he had any sports joke, and he said he struck out on that. Come on.
Oh!
Pops brings it.
Thank you. Wow, that's a touchdown.
Hey, it's a touchdown.
Oh.
Okay. Apple does not fall far.
That's what I'm looking for. And now, Joe Till, I can thank you for that one. And now we can move on. See, Roger, I'm doing my job.
I know. Wow. It's good. We're providing content.
I work for the restaurants. I'm the waiter. You're the chef. The audience is the diners. Oh. I gotta make everybody happy. All right.
I'm doing the dishes, mate. Yeah.
Paul, what's next?
Athletics.
Or do we have one? There we go. From Allie. If you could have your character team up with a character from another fandom, who would it be and why?
I know immediately, so I'm just going to jump in. I would have Heimerdinger team up with Albus Dumbledore for magic and science, because they both have that same heart of a teacher, but also, you know, very, very clear worldviews about the role of and the pursuit of science and or magic. They're very similar hearts on their subjects. And I think Heimerdinger could teach a few things to Albus about, you know, scientific things, and Albus could teach Heimerdinger, you know, maybe not all magic is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
That's like brilliant. That's a great team up.
I'd like to see Silco as like a Sith in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Like the Emperor. You know?
He'd be right. He would be right for that because of just the passionate and like what he has means to an end. Like he would really want to do something good with it, but he'd go about it in that way, wouldn't he? I could see I could see Benzo in a Star Wars world, but he'd team it with Han Solo. I'd need to procure some things, and I think it would be hilarious to see 3PO in his shop. It's like, could you please just stop talking and let's do? Just tell me what the bloke said. He said the blah blah blah. You know, I could just see I could see him. All right, I'll fix you. Yeah,
I would just team up with Vi, not Vi from Arcane, but Vi from The Incredibles.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, that little bubble thing would come in handy. And
totally.
Again,
yeah.
Because the goggles they really didn't do much.
Yeah.
They didn't help you.
They didn't do much, man.
The goggles, they do nothing.
Man, it's like, it's the weirdest thing. You think you would have caught on. It's like the...
That's when Overwatch, that's when Soldier 76 needed to give a visor. That would have helped you.
There you go. Thank you. That's right. Yeah. But Vi from The Incredibles. Just a little bubble protection thing.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I'm still not over it.
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't be.
We could tell.
Chainmail for Christmas, Roger.
Yeah. Some chainmail. Like a shark suit. Just something. Just, you know, why not? It's like,
no, but I've got my goggles, you guys. I'm good. That's all I need.
No, trust me. Like, you really, a helmet.
Like just go with a little Grogu's chainmail from Meg Alley. Great question. I think we got time for one more. So let's see if we go out on a really, really wacky fun one. And from Stevie B, if you wanted to be a contestant on a game show, past or present, what would you like to be on?
Everybody Lives.
Yeah.
The fun game you can play at home.
Right.
Oh, wow. I already got to be on that show.
Survivor. Yeah.
Survivor. Naked and Afraid.
Last week.
But on Jeopardy. Well,
go with my same answer, and that is I would give anything to be a contestant on the Hollywood Squares back when Paul Lynde was here.
Yeah. Oh, Jason.
Center Square.
I love you.
I'm going to go on an airplane with you. I would give anything to be on that show.
Does anyone...
So funny.
I'm too old.
I can't watch those and not die laughing.
Does anyone remember The Liars Club? Is that too old? That was a show that came up for a brief period. Like, it's basically an improv show where they would present some object and you would have to say what it is. And then each person, you know, then you'd have to guess which one was telling the truth. That's kind of a fun.
Yeah, I do remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeopardy would be great, but you'd know you'd screw it up. You'd get the one topic that you just don't know. You know what I mean? Like, please. Let it be
ancient Lithuanian history 800.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll be the
sport jokes.
You know, sports jokes. I got nothing.
Potent potables.
Oh shit! Here you go.
Can't help thinking the NFL season said Coronaball the best veteran. See. Really? See,
wait,
look at that. All of us are just kind of like, oh, Neil, no.
Oh, but he's so great.
No. Thanks for that.
I will bet a joke got more attention.
Oh, yeah. Than anything. Yeah.
It's okay.
Right.
It's Neil.
Yeah. I think he's going to be fine.
He's good.
I think he'll be just fine.
We all love the guy. It's fine.
Neil, your career in comedy is over.
Yeah. I would give up anything to be... Mm-hmm. To go on, it was Press Your Luck, wasn't it?
I was going to say that. You took mine.
No.
Yeah.
No whammies, right?
No whammies is Press Your Luck. Absolutely.
Yeah. And to get to voice one of the actual whammies would have been great. But I don't know why that was the dumbest show. And yet it was like such a huge part of my childhood that it was like, for whatever reason, like oh, it's a whammy. Like every now and then we'll be doing something. Yeah. I'll be doing something somewhere. I'll be like, no whammies. And people look at me like, and they just look at you like, what? And you're like, oh, I'm old. It's a whammy. When I was your age, we used to press our luck, not the like button on our social doohickeys. Yes. And there were whammies in the world.
Back when the whammy was the menace, it really is.
It was like when
we took it seriously.
Space battle with Jack Kirby, and
there was crackle.
Big money, no whammies. Stop.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. No whammies. Yeah. 2-2.
Stevie, there you have it. I myself am a Match Game fan. You know. Jason and I talked about this last week. It's like you're either Hollywood Squares or Match Game. Not a lot of crossover.
No.
It's like DC and Marvel. So
Star Trek and Star Wars.
Yes, indeed. Well, GalaxyCon viewers, this has been my time with three dead guys and a scientist. But please head over to galaxycon.com. And while you're there, we invite you to check out our schedule of upcoming events just like this one. Gentlemen, as always, been an absolute delight. Any final words before we take our leave?
Don't be capricious.
It's Be well, everybody.
Yeah, go take care of each other.
26. That's so good. You guys all, killed it on the show.
100%.
Honor to be here with you.
Are you kidding me?
Thank you.
You guys are so talented, man.
Truly, deliciously evil.
Right back at you for sure.
Stay safe, everybody.
Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure to serve you all. Once again, thank you for joining us on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Thank you to our audience for joining us. And thank you, as always, for your great questions. Hope to see everybody again soon. Until then, bye-bye, take care, and remember, smiles are free, spend them often.
That's right.